Well, time is marching on, and so I might preach half a sermon. I'm not quite sure yet. We'll see how we go. All right. I'm going to take us tonight to Judges chapter 6. You know what? Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. I've been spending a lot of time in Judges over these past few weeks. Spending a lot of time thinking about the life of Gideon, confession time, working at the life of Gideon and Ballylochan. And so what you're going to hear tonight is not really a repeat of a sermon that I've preached in Ballylochan, but I want to bring out a thought from Judges 6 that I think is maybe relevant to tonight and relevant to this week. So Judges 6, and we're going to read verses 11 to... We'll go to verse 16. We'll just go to verse 16. One main point that maybe I will bring out from this tonight. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Should have said a wee bit of context to that. The context is the people of Israel, who are now living in the promised land, have really deserted the Lord. They're following other gods, the gods of the Canaanites. And as a consequence of that, the Lord disciplines his people by removing his hand of protection from them, and he allows them for a time to be overrun by the Midianites and other invading peoples who just terrorize them, to be honest. And you can read more about that in the earlier verses of Judges chapter 6. But before I go any further, here's a quick quiz. You up for a wee quiz tonight? Good. All right. That's enthusiastic. Okay. Some "who am I" statements that I'm going to read out. Who am I? Now, to make it easier, the answers are going to be on the screen. So hopefully six names are going to appear on the screen. Those are brilliant. Thanks so much. Okay. So who am I? All right. Here's the first one. I got hurt in an abusive marriage and became a jobless single parent, as poor as can be, living in a mice-infested flat. I tried writing stories, but got turned down by 12 publishers. Who am I? Reuben Allen's not allowed to answer this. Who am I? J.K. Rowling is right, who has now sold over 600 million of her books and was turned down by 12 publishers. Okay, here's another one. I couldn't speak fluently until I was 9 years old. I was expelled from school and then refused a place in college because I failed the entrance test. Albert Einstein is right. Okay, here's another one. I was too small to defend myself. The bullies beat me up and pushed me down a flight of concrete stairs, and I was hospitalized. I still can't breathe properly because of the injuries I sustained on that day. Who am I? Hands up, you think it's Lionel Messi? Hands up for another one. The answer is Elon Musk. Elon Musk. Raised in a household with two brothers and two chickens, I was forbidden by the Taliban from having an education, and when I spoke up for female rights, they shot me in the head. You've all said Malala, but nobody's guessed the second or gone for the second name. Malala Yousafzai, who I think was the youngest ever winner of the Nobel Peace Prize for speaking up for female rights to education. A couple more. Rejected because I was too small. I was diagnosed with a hormone growth deficiency at the age of 10. My parents couldn't afford to pay for my medical treatment. Lionel Messi. The story goes of how he went into Barcelona's youth academy, and they paid for his treatment, and Lionel Messi became the World Cup winner that he is today. Well, for a few weeks anyway. Last one, process of elimination. You already know the answer. I was a shy and insecure boy who got poor grades at school because I always fell asleep in class. I dropped out of school and was turned down from the army, taking a job as a cartoonist for a newspaper. I was fired for lacking imagination and having no good ideas. Who is it? Walt Disney. Incredible. All people who have been through the toughest of experiences, the biggest of setbacks, times of self-doubt, times when they felt that they weren't up to it, and they all went on to accomplish amazing things, humanly speaking, anyway. Gideon was a guy who had a background, firstly, of inferiority. His family, we're told, was part of the tribe of Manasseh. And the tribe of Manasseh, I'll not go into all the details, you can read it for yourself in Genesis 48, but the tribe of Manasseh was a tribe that lived with the stigma of having been overlooked. The tribe of Manasseh was not a highly thought of tribe in the people of among the people of Israel. Wasn't one of the leading tribes. And Gideon's clan, the Abiezrites, was, according to Gideon himself in verse 15, the weakest in Manasseh. And moreover, Gideon describes himself in verse 15 as the least in his family. So Gideon was the least in his family. His clan, the least in the tribe. His tribe, one of the least in Israel. His was a background of incredible inferiority. His was also a background of tragedy. We know from later on in Gideon's story that some of his brothers, at a point in the past, have been murdered by the Midianite oppressors at some stage. Gideon's is a background of tragedy and trauma. So Gideon's is a background of inferiority, it's a background of tragedy, and it's also a background of timidity. Where do we find Gideon? Verse 11. Where do we find him? We find him threshing wheat in a wine press. Wheat was typically threshed or beaten in an open space, often at the top of a hilltop. And that allowed the edible grain to fall to the ground while the breeze blew away the inedible chaff. But Gideon, out of fear of the Midianites, is threshing on the cramped and hidden confines of a wine press. Basically, Gideon is hiding down a big hole. That's Gideon's background. A background of inferiority. A background of tragedy, a background of timidity. But we see, and I'm only going to make one point, and there it is, the Lord calls Gideon. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. And as the Lord appears to Gideon, this guy with a background of inferiority, a background of tragedy, and a background of timidity, well, it's almost comedic what the Lord says to Gideon. Verse 12, the Lord says to Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But God isn't mocking Gideon here. God sees in Gideon something that Gideon doesn't see in himself at this stage. God sees in Gideon certainly something that others don't see in Gideon at this stage. God sees in Gideon that rather than him remaining as a fearful farmer, he will become a mighty warrior delivering Israel from their Midianite oppressors. Of course, Gideon struggles with this call from the Lord to him. Gideon puts up all sorts of objections. I mean, the first objection he says there in verse, I can't even read it, I need my glasses on, in verse, whatever verse that is, verse 13, he says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to him? Where's all the Lord's wonders our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? Gideon's first objection to the Lord is cynicism. The Lord. We've heard stories about how the Lord works and delivers his people in the past, but not today. Not today. The Lord doesn't work in and among weak people like us today. Folks, beware cynicism. Beware the sin of cynicism, which expects nothing from the Lord, which doesn't anticipate and expect that the Lord can do wonderful things. Cynical people are people who develop plenty of opinions about things, but in reality they have a heart for nothing. Beware cynicism. And Gideon first is quite cynical about what the angel of the Lord says to him. But mostly Gideon's objection is, I come from the wrong family. I have no credentials. I live with feelings of inferiority, insecurity, inadequacy, and anxiety. But the Lord reassures Gideon, verse 14, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And he promises in verse 16, I will be with you. That's what will make the difference to Gideon. It will be God's power working through Gideon's weakness. And you will strike down the Midians, leaving none alive, the Lord says to Gideon. Gideon. This man with a background of inferiority and a background of tragedy and a background of timidity. And yet the Lord comes to Gideon and says, am I not sending you? When you think about it, there were plenty of other people the Lord could have sent to rescue Israel. Plenty of other more outwardly impressive people. Plenty of other much more well-known people in Israel whom the Lord could have sent to deliver Israel out of Midian's hands. But he comes to Gideon. One from a background of inferiority and tragedy and timidity, and says, I'm sending you, and I will be with you, and I will use you. It's a reminder, is it not, that the Lord delights in using people, not those who think they are strong, not those who believe themselves to be capable. Not those who come from a background of influence or those with a name. No, the Lord delights, to quote the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:27 to 29, the Lord delights in using the weak things of this world, the lowly and despised things, the things that are not, the unknowns and the nobodies. Those are the people whom the Lord delights to use. those who are in a place of humility before the Lord. I wonder, as a close, is there somebody here tonight and the Lord's calling you to step up out of a wine press and into a place of influence? The Lord's calling you to move out of a place of hiding and into a place where maybe you'll have a greater influence for Him. Could be in school, college. I was going to say uni, but you're off now for your holidays. But it could be in your educational environment where, if truth be told, you have maybe even kept your faith in the Lord quite quiet. You've kept your head down. You've been hiding down a big hole out of fear. And maybe the Lord says to you, it's time to step up and step out and put yourself in a position where you'll have a greater influence for Me and for My glory. Maybe it's in the workplace again. You've just kind of kept your head down when it comes to the Lord. And the Lord says to you, it's time to step up and to step out. It's time to position yourself in some kind of way that you might have a greater influence for Me. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and an opportunity has come or is about to come your way. And you have feelings of fear and apprehension and anxiety and imposter syndrome and feelings of self-doubt about that. But maybe it's a position where you can have a greater influence for the Lord. And the Lord is maybe going to say to you, while you say, no, 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 maybe the Lord will say to you, hey, but is it maybe time for you to step up and step out from the place of hiding to that place where you may be able to exert a greater influence for Me? Or maybe even at service in some way around church here. Maybe you've had feelings of inadequacy. Maybe you've had feelings of inferiority when you compare yourself with others. Maybe you've had feelings of timidity. Maybe there's even been some sort of trauma in the past that is holding you back. But the Lord is coming to you tonight, today, and is saying, I'm with you, mighty warrior. Me? A mighty warrior for you, Lord? I am with you, mighty warrior. I see in you something that you can't see in you as yet. But it's time to step up, and it's time to step forward, and I will be with you, and I will use you for My glory and for My purposes. The Lord delights in using the weak things of this world, the lowly and the despised things, the things that are not, the unknowns and the nobodies. The Lord delights in using such for His glorious purposes. And so, Lord, You speak over us those words that You spoke over Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. If truth be told, Lord, those of us here tonight, maybe those of us watching in at times feel very far from being a mighty warrior. Many of us live with feelings of inferiority. Perhaps some of us live with situations of tragedy. Maybe we have feelings of timidity. But Lord, we hear you saying to us tonight that like you appeared to Gideon, the unknown, the nobody really in the eyes of others, you appeared to him and you said, I'm with you, mighty warrior. He would become a mighty warrior not because of anything in himself, but because you're with him and because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so as we go out into this week, in our school environments, in our working environments, in whatever other places and spaces you take us to, help us to be people who aren't hiding in the wine press, in the hole in the ground, keeping our heads down. But help us in your strength to step up, to step out, to allow ourselves to be used by you for your good purposes. We feel weak tonight, and that's a good place to be. And we pray your power would be at work in us and through us in our weakness. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just stand as we respond together.